This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
when Edmontonians know that the NHL is being, you know, the Stanley Cup's being waged in their backyard.
Oh, buddy, there's zero buzz here, man. None at all whatsoever.
How about that?
Even when we talk about it on my show, I mean, there's not a lot of people who are very interested in the Lightning and Stars, which personally I think has a chance to be a really good series and maybe one of the better series that we've seen so far in the playoffs. But in this market, in this town, there's no buzz for the National Hockey League. Like, none at all whatsoever right now.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the RP Show, everybody, and we are underway. I'm just surfing Twitter here. Stuff's happening. And I appreciate you putting that tweet up from the Quick Six. It's getting a lot of reaction here.
Good.
And we're going to go through all the Quick Six show topics in a second. But I wish that we could bring producer Clark out here so he could back up my story. As I say, I've kind of made a career of going out on the limb on my own. It's nice when people come out and join me out there, but I don't need them to come out there because I'm very confident in what I'm saying. I'm very confident that the BC Lions pump in crowd noise, even though they've long denied it, at BC Play Stadium. And Clark has said he was on a road trip when he worked with the Rough Riders. He interned with them for a season. He said him and Smitty, our director of scouting, Craig Smith, were there standing on the sidelines watching a game. Same thing. Bedlam in BC Place. He looks up into the crowd. He's like, nobody's cheering. And I'm watching Dirty John, the Netflix series. It's not like I didn't know this as a working in the mental health world that I do, the term gaslighting, but it came up last night again in the show Gaslighting. Do you know what that is?
I should.
It's what's in relationships when, I'll use the case of Dirty John. Christian Slater is the husband.
Love him.
And the wife, Amanda Pete, is saying, you're cheating on me. I know it. I feel it. He's like, no, I'm not. I can't prove that I'm not. I can't prove that I'm not doing anything that I'm not doing.
Right.
It drives her crazy. It's gaslighting. When in reality, she was right all along. So I don't want to be a spoiler. BC Lions are gaslighting me. I know you're doing it. Don't say you're not. It's a clinical thing.
But if you,
and by the way, who cares? Just admit it.
Because nobody can prove it. So the denying something right. That's actually happening is gaslighting.
Yes. Well, that's part of just
leading them on to it.
Making you think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not crazy.
And they use words like that. Stop being crazy. You're ruining this relationship.
All that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure out in BC, they're having a big old chuckle right now.
Yeah.
Rose Henry writes in, she's an Eskimo fan, or was an Edmonton football fan. She says, I get a headache every time I go to BC Place for a game. I've long said it's the best atmosphere in the CFL for game night production and everything. It is. It is the best. But don't tell me you're not pumping in crowd noise. Come on, it's time. We can do it. We're friends now, right? Let's go to the Quick Six show topics here before we bring in Bubba O'Neill. Let's do it. Number one, Monday Night Football. The Raiders beat the Saints 34-24. Quite a game for the Raiders, who started slow, picked it up and finished strong, and they went to 2-0. The Saints have fallen to 1-1. I'm with you. Sorry to say, I didn't care for the broadcast crew. It's Monday Night Football. Why do you have to change it every year for the most part? It makes no sense. You know, you need to watch the documentary of Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell and Joe Meredith was before my time. Who was it? John Meredith? Smitty, tell me who it was. I think it was Joe Meredith was the name. This was like early 70s. But then it morphed into Frank Gifford, right? And those guys. But last night, they looked like a bunch of Century 21 salesmen. They put on the yellow blazers. Just didn't look right. I don't know.
It just is missing a little bit of the, you like to call it chutzpah?
The pizzazz.
A little bit of that show. And it's such a, It's a little bit subjective, but when you know, you know. And if you're, you know what I mean? And if you're in that talent evaluation kind of role, and if you love these things, you know, and you can just tell when you listen and when you see it, it's a feeling that you get. It's one thing to be qualified to call a game, and they're all massively qualified, and they're all stars. But for Monday Night Football, there's something a little different of the big guys, you know, and these aren't all Monday Night guys, but, you know, the Jim Nances, Joe Bucks, Al Michaels, you know, all the great play-by-play guys that call football. You know, and Howard Cosell's and the guys before, there's just something different about them, right? Every word's crafted well, different. It's such a bigger deal.
Thank you. Don Meredith. I'm sorry. Dougal Cameron in Calgary. Don Meredith. He was the cowboy. Thank you, guys. And I'm sorry to cut you off. I knew Cosell, but Don Meredith. And the thing is, this is what I loathe about the media these days, that it's not broadcasters running these companies anymore. I love Booger McFarland last year. I love Booger on there. He was the guy that was going from goal line to goal line on the cart. Remember, he was doing color from the sidelines, but they trucked him up and down the game. But there was enough of a social media backlash against Booger McFarland that they removed him from the airwaves. And it's like, can you guys that are run these networks just sit up and say, is he good or is he not good? Why do you got to go off? Because he got five tweets that people don't like him. You got to fire the guy. Do you not have the balls to stand up and say, I like that guy? I don't care what they're saying on social media. But these networks aren't doing it.
Nobody really goes on social media and says, I really like his play-by-play.
Never.
It's very adequate. You know, like nobody's doing that. But the couple of negative tweets always outweigh it, and it's a shame.
But it's costing guys jobs.
But here's the difference. You know, they'll say, well, he calls a really good game. He can call play-by-play. He can call play-by-play really well. Well, to plug in and the broadcast networks say, well, he can call the game and he can do the job. Yes. That works for your junior hockey teams and for, you know, whatever, on the radio or on television, whatever. But at that level, on national television, your job is no longer to call a football game. Your job is to entertain the country, period. Entertain. Yeah, and that's what those guys do. John Gruden.
And not offend anybody.
Tony Romo. Those guys can analyze the game, sure. But what do they do more than anybody? They entertain.
And Smitty, our director of scouting, Craig Smith, says, Keith Jackson did the play-by-play the first year. Showdown in Tuscaloosa. I thought it was Howard Cosell.
Just the way you say that, it's just every word. Like, you are narrow. Like, I had a call with a young play-by-play.
Quickly.
Yeah, with a young play-by-play guy on Zoom this week. One thing I talked about, I said, don't try and be the expert of hockey and tell everybody what's going on in all these technical terms. Think of the play-by-play guy in the Mighty Ducks movies. You're just dramatizing and narrating what's happening.
Well, I've never heard that one before.
Right?
Never heard that one before. They're doing the flying V. Point two, which 0-2 NFL team is a mirage? We were talking about that. Point three, can you really blame injuries for lack of success? I normally say no, but when it's the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Bosa, the two best players, I kind of can. Point four, Stanley Cup Finals tied 1-1 now, as Tampa beat Dallas 3-2 last night. Point five, we recap the NHL awards. Neon Leon won the most hardware. And point six, the Blue Jays won it 11-5 over the Yankees last night. And if the playoffs started today, which next week they're going to, it'd be the Jays and the Rays, and Toronto would be going on the road. So there's all those things to bring in Bubba O'Neill to talk about. Our good friend Clint Bumma O'Neill from CHCH TV. How you doing, Bubba?
How do you do? I mean, great conversation about Monday Night Football, because that was really primarily on my mind when I was bouncing around with like everyone else in the sports world, and how, you know what, and I know it's a tough job. Each one of the three of us have done play-by-play at a high level, and it's a difficult job, and especially on television where you have networks that have short fuses and short patience, and they want ratings. But I will be honest, I'm kind of underwhelmed with the threesome that are in the booth at this moment.
Well, then you might have missed right at the start. We were talking about that. I was underwhelmed myself. Now, I understand they're replacing John Gruden here. It's been a revolving chair. I said I liked Booger McFarland. I liked his voice. I liked what he had to say. I liked everything about him. But because there are a few people tweeted about him, Bubba, thrown overboard. That's how the networks roll.
They may have been, I know you're saying they're replacing John Gruden. I'd go further back. And then you guys mentioned the original names of Monday Night Football. And you had guys like O.J. Simpson and Joe Namath coming in there as well, too, as guest analysts. But you know what? I think the difference is let's be honest. I think right now, Monday Night Football is actually Sunday Night Football in terms of popularity and getting the best possible games on network. And on top of that, you can never generate the type of excitement that Monday night. I mean, hey, John Lennon was on Monday Night Football. I mean, you can never generate that type of excitement because it was the only show on Monday night. That's a time when really all of us would get to see one or two games a week. Now I watch Red Zone and I can see every first down for crying out loud. So I just don't know if you can ever generate that type of love and excitement that we saw back in the early 70s and into the mid 70s and even bridging into the 80s. Times have changed, and I'm surprised the networks aren't really seeing it that way.
Well, man, you're bringing the heat today, Bubba, because A, you're right. Sunday, what you're basically saying is Sunday's become the marquee game. It's not Monday anymore, but I'm just thinking about back to the day. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Did we even hear that last night? Like, they've ruined it. They've ruined it, Bubba.
Well, and I guess they've replaced the Hank Williams song as well, too, have they not?
Yes.
It's a little
yes.
Richard. It's a little Richard. It's a little Richard song that starts it off right now. The Hank Williams Jr. song that, you know, what we've become so accustomed to, that's become a staple with that program, is no longer in existence. I think for a second time, I think they pulled him for a second. The first time for a different reason.
Bubba, lots to get to again with you as always. That was I'm glad to get your thoughts on that, by the way. But moving on to the Hamilton thing, people. I'm not going to take credit for this. Somebody said this the other day that here in Saskatchewan, people are lost without Rough Rider football. And I would agree. I'll take it a step further. I'm missing Rams, Huskies, Thunder, and Hilltops as well. I am. What's Hamilton going through right now without the Ticats and Mac football and everything else?
It really is. You're feeling it. I mean, this is very much like Regina, Hamilton. I mean, it loves its hockey, loves its Bulldogs, loves everything. I mean, we're a real sports community, so close to Toronto, so we get a reflection of what the Toronto sports can also offer as well. But there's a good local feel, and that starts with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And them not being there is real, real. Boy, I drove by the stadium the other day and just had a look at it, and I felt it. I'll be honest, I felt a little something in my heart. It's just like, wow, empty. It's been empty for so long. And really, right now, we would be, as we all know, the second half of the season starts on Labor Day. And that feeling did start on Labor Day. I had to do something at the station on that Monday. So I went back, and we had enough tapes for the last 20 years to find some defining plays from Labor Day just to give us that feeling of, one, seeing Ivor Wynne Stadium, seeing Tim Hortons Field, seeing Danny McManus, seeing these unbelievable names that we will forever, you know, have Labor Day lore with, and the rivalry with the Argonauts. It's just something that is so special, very much like Calgary and Edmonton, no different. You guys like the Banjo Bowl the week after the Labor Day. It's missing. Now, the Mac thing, too, and I call these Mac games. I'm part of the broadcast crew, and we're the defending Yates Cups champions, you know, with an opportunity with a team I think is going to be even better, which could probably be a challenge for a Vanier Cup. That's missing. There is one saving grace in our area, and that was seeing the exploits, even though they weren't close to us, and we had to watch on television and on computer, was watching Forge FC with their nice little run at the Island Games in the CPL, and then they ended up winning the repeating as champions. You know, so there was a nice little feeling for that, but with all due respect, it's just not the Tiger Cats.
No, I know. And to that, you probably saw Gary Stern came out last week, the owner of the Alouettes, and said they're working on a plan. He thinks the CFL will play in 2021, whether there's fans or not. I have thoughts on that. I mean, I got excited, too, because I want to see the league back. And I think the fact everybody misses it is actually a good thing. But is the league going to change then? I mean, where's the business model we were planned? Is it going to be this salary top heavy, bad relationship with the players league, or are we going to see a change? Because we were promised a change, Bubba. I mean, what do you see in 2021 for this league?
Well, when you look, you forecast it, guys, and really, there has to be changes. And I know the last time I was on your fine program, I kind of went on a little mini rant saying that the whole salary structure of the league, in my opinion, and I don't mean to say I love players making as much money as they can, but within the confines of the league and what the CFL is, there has to be a rollback of some of these salaries. Mike Riley, some of these guys making nearly $8 million a year in the Canadian Football League. To me, again, no offense to these fine guys. They're amazing athletes, and you should always go out there and get as much as you can on what the market can pay you. But it just doesn't make sense for the league. And you know what? If you reduce the salaries and some of the players say, I'm not playing there, so be it. We'll find new stars. Hopefully, some of them are Canadians. So I always look at it from an economic standpoint and then go from there. Because to me, that has been the rotating problem with this league that we have had for two decades now. Something about money always seems to come up, whether it's the CBA or salaries or the salary cap or who's breaking the salary cap. It's always about money. And we have to find a way to get that focus back on the field and really have 9, maybe even 10 franchises that are, if they're not all doing well, surviving.
I believe they're working on that, and I don't know whether they should be public with it or not. I mean, they're not public with it, so I'm hoping for the best. Any thoughts on Stanley Cup final, by the way, 1-1, and also off that Hockey Night in Canada? Because I'm seeing Kevin Bieksa on there saying he's basically a Hamilton guy. Am I right? Is he beloved in that area, Bieksa?
Yeah, he's from the Grimsby area, which is just down the road. I mean, you would have Hamilton as the bigger community, Stony Creek, and then Grimsby. So yeah, I would definitely consider him a Hamilton boy. He's doing a great job, I think, offering his real, you know, lighter side. Obviously played in the league for many, many years, was a good player with the Vancouver Canucks. I think that's what most of us remember him as, a rugged kind of guy. And I respect what he's doing on that panel. Hey, Hockey Night, we talk about ABC and ESPN and what they're trying to do with their Monday Night Football crew. Let's not forget that Sportsnet are trying to do the same thing, too. They're trying to remodel this sort of new wave and trying to attract new viewers with some maybe new faces. And some of them are working, in my opinion. Some of them I'm like, eh, to do without. But I like him on that broadcast crew. As to towards the Stanley Cup, I got to be honest with you guys. Tampa, Dallas, two Sun Belt teams.
I know.
You know, again, that was a 3-2 game. Tampa races out to a 3-0 lead. Dallas battles back, makes it really exciting. But you know what? There was just, for the first time since we've been watching these games in the bubble, I missed the crowds. I mean, I have all throughout, but I've really noticed it last night. When teams go on a power play or there's a controversial penalty, it's not feeling like a Stanley Cup to me. And I've always said this about the National Hockey League. For some reason, that first round and that second round have so much excitement to me, and then it kind of dies down to me in terms of its interest. And that's probably because the teams become very, very local or very, very regional. Whereas with basketball, with the NBA, the first round usually isn't that exciting because one rarely beats eight. But then the finals are always very interesting to me. So I don't know. I'm kind of in this weird spot. It's great that we got so many sports going on right now, but I'm fighting to stay interested in hockey other than on a professional level.
You are one of the majority. 60% of our viewers yesterday said that they aren't watching the Stanley Cup Finals. I am, because of friends, and I'm a hockey guy, really, by trade. But I am not going to scold anybody who's not. By the way, lastly, Bubba, were you part of the Casino-rama grill room back in the day?
Yes, there were times I had with Gareth Wheeler. I was on 5-6 times, maybe.
But yeah, the reason I say that night I was in Hamilton on a road trip with the Riders. I turned on the TV. Did CHCH carry it?
Not to my knowledge. No,
it was on some channel. Oh yeah.
Sorry?
It was on some channel in my hotel room, is all I'm saying, in the Sheridan, downtown Hamilton. And I know for a fact Matt Cause was on there and Ronnie Lancaster. And I just remember watching it going, this is the greatest show ever. They're just having so much fun. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to tell you that I knew that you were part of that. And I know that you've been supportive of what we're doing here. I hope this is reflective of the good old days in the Casino-rama grill room, because that's kind of the format we're going for here.
You guys are nailing it. I keep telling people about your show, and we need more shows like this. And, you know, I did a show for 5 years that we called it Sportsline with Mark Hebscher. Again, we want to talk. And again, the best part, we're on CHCH, which isn't affiliated with with TSN or Sportsnet. So we can say what we felt and probably said what people were saying. And hey, this is sports, right? It's opinions and it's fun. And, you know, you're right, you're wrong. And you're, there's a fun element to it. So I think you guys are doing a great thing. I think it's fantastic that you guys are getting more and more, not just so much regional, but you're getting national attention. So keep doing what you're doing, guys. You know, it's stimulating to us sports fans and even ones that are broadcasting.
Oh, sweet. All right, Bubba, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for the insights, my man. And let's do it again soon.
Anytime.
Clint Bubba O'Neill from CHCH Television in Hamilton. We're going to break. We're a little late for one. I was just enjoying that chat with Bubba too much. We'll come back with a sports update. And Joe Craig Jr., this is the inspirational part of today's show. Former Rider receiver, star receiver, in a bad car accident here in 2020, and he's on the rebound. That's coming up. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and you're listening around the world at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Dupes is here, just talking a bit about these, what we're seeing on television right now, Stanley Cup playoffs, NFL games.
Yep.
Wayne in Victoria says, I think the NHL has done a great job with the artificial crowd noise, but Bubba's right. It's not the same as a real crowd. Yeah, it's getting us through. I don't know what to say. It's getting us through, but it's not the real thing.
No, but it's going to end up being a real positive thing for sports because we're going to get a little break from the crowds and we're going to get this new thing. And when it comes back, it's going to be even, you know, bigger and better, and it's going to feel more special than it did before. It's going to be a real cool
moment. I sure hope so.
It's going to be a real cool moment. It's just like, you know, you and your significant other, your partner, you know, everything's going great. You're having a great time. But when you go on the road for a week or two or you go away for a bit, it's always those first couple of days back are always just a little bit nice, you know, a little better.
I hope you're right, sir.
Yeah, I am.
Are you guaranteeing that?
I guarantee it. Okay. That's a I don't make many guarantees, but I guarantee when you have a full stadium again, whenever that happens, it's going to be
just
hella
because
cool.
It feels so far away from happening. Just saying, because my brother, again, I opened the show talking about him. He's probably watching right now. I mean, he's just so Joe pro sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, listen, man, they're not getting back to playing anytime soon. The governments aren't budging. Yeah. How many times have I said it on this show? You can go pick it if you want. I've kind of taken up the stance of the pro sports, pro business crowd, but it's not making any difference. And he goes, hey, you're going the other way on me. I'm said, it's not that I like it. I'm just telling you what I see. That's all, you know? So you're saying one day we'll be back. It'll be better than ever. And I think you're right. Do you want to put a date on that guarantee? Or?
No, I do not. I do not want to put a date on it, but I'm telling you, And the TV ratings will be through the roof. That whatever the game is, when they're saying the first one back with full crowds, it'll be hockey night in Canada, it'll be Monday night football, or, you know, something, and it's going to feel like a Super Bowl.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you for the pot. I was trying to be upbeat. You're the one that took it over.
Thanks.
So Joe Craig, ladies and gentlemen, he's lined up. Don't bring him in yet, guys. Just for our viewers watching around the world, he's from Gaffney, South Carolina. Came on my radar and for a lot of you with the Saskatchewan Roughriders in 2016. But he had played with the Cincinnati Bengals before that. He spent 2 years with the Roughriders. Just a very electrifying player. And just, Wikipedia is a wonderful thing. August 16, 2016. Joe Craig signed with the Rough Riders. He recorded 2 receptions for 32 yards. He returned 33 punts, including a 71-yard punt return touchdown versus the Toronto Argonauts on October 15th, 2016. I called it. Like I was doing the play-by-play.
Yeah.
I didn't predict it.
Yep.
And then in 2017, in a real Chris Jones move, he flipped Joe Craig to defensive back, where he spent 2017 with the Rough Riders. But now he's in the spotlight because of an accident, and not a good one, that he had this year. And he's going to join us to talk about his story, talk a little Rough Rider history and so forth. Joe Craig joining us. There he is. Sorry for the preamble there, Joe. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Mr. Peterson?
Good. It's good to see you again. And I guess, you know, on the whole topic of gratitude and acceptance, I'm glad that you're alive to have this chat today. I'm sure You are too, Joe. Tell us your story since the events of the last several months.
Well, I'm living in Memphis, Tennessee right now. I came out here. I decided to try to be a graduate assistant, but I've seen the politics side of it, and I decided to just branch off and train young athletes and mentor and go around and do some motivation speaking. But since COVID started, it kind of slowed me down. But on August the 22nd, I was going home from seeing some friends that came to Memphis from out of town to see me. And I was going through a light. A guy made a left turn right in front of me, and he collided with me kind of head on. And honestly, from that point forward, I don't remember anything from the wreck happening until I woke up in a hospital. They went ahead and did surgery on the front part of my neck, and I guess they put me to sleep. And the first thing that I remember when I woke up is seeing my cousin and my father. Like, they had time to get there. So I wasn't thinking anything negative. I didn't even know I had gotten a wreck. The first thing that the doctors told me, of course, was that I got in a bad car accident and that I was paralyzed. And they tried to keep talking to me, but I stopped them. And I was like, what do you mean I'm paralyzed? And it was like, well, if you're not paralyzed, Mr. Craig, can you please move your legs, your arms, or anything? And of course, I tried to do so, but I couldn't. And even after they was doing the test on me with the rubber hammer and the pins and needles, I couldn't feel anything at all. And it kind of sunk me into a negative thought, a negative place. And it hit me so hard that I started having seizures. I never had seizures a day in my life, but it kind of hit me just knowing that I was paralyzed and them telling me that I wasn't going to walk and all this. It kind of just put me in a bad, stressful place. Not only did I have seizures, but they also told me that I had two strokes on the back of my brain. So that kind of was going to be in a mix of me, if I had any good memory, if I was going to be able to talk. I had to go through speech therapy. But I had surgery. To sum it all up, I had surgery on the front of my neck, the back of my neck. I had plates put in on both sides. I had surgery on my spine, my sternum, and my left arm is still broke to this day. And I actually had a follow-up appointment today, this morning, that I went to. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be because they're going to go ahead and do surgery on my left arm. They're going to go in and put screws and rods in, and they're going to do a surgery again on my spine next week. So that's kind of depressing for me. I wanted to just go ahead and get healthy and let it be over with, but I figure I got to go through it again. And although I'm mad right now and upset, I know it's a bigger purpose than what I can see, and I trust the God that I serve.
There's no doubt about that. And by the way, the comments are rolling in like crazy. If you don't mind, I'm going to read a couple of them from Miranda. Okay. Foster. Hey, Joe, so glad you're still with us today. So good to see you, Joe. Missed you. You know Miranda. From Arlene in Saskatoon. Hey, Joe, so nice to see you. From our director of scouting, Craig Smith. Prayers for Joe Craig Jr. A lot of people praying for you, Joe. And you're right, there is a message in all this. It's not entirely clear right now to you. I know that for a fact. But you know, what is the prognosis? I saw the video of you attempting to walk the other day. I mean, how's your rehab going, that kind of thing? Have you seen progress in your life since August 22nd? Yeah, tell us about that.
As far as rehab goes, they kind of didn't even want to try to let me attempt to walk. It was more so of my mentality. Once I started getting my feeling back in my legs and they was putting me through tests where they was putting their hands on the bottom of my feet, telling me to press the gas and I lift my leg up and don't let them push it down. Once I started seeing myself pass those tests, I knew that I was going to be able to walk, even if it was going to take me a year, 5 years, however long. I wanted to try. That's just who I am. Like, I don't allow anybody to tell me that I can't do something when I know that I can. If I feel I can and I got my mind made up, I'm going to try everything in my power to do so. Although they didn't let me walk in the hospital, I kind of snuck out of the bed on my own and walked to the bathroom and try to walk to the door, just sneaking around and just doing little steps at a time. I'm walking now. I'm unstable at times when I get a little winded because I still got to build my wind back up and my power and my strength back up because I'm very weak at the moment. But I'm walking fine right now. I'm on my own right now. But to answer your question as to what changed my life, the wreck within itself, it changed me because I see that I was saved. If you go back and look at the pictures of the car, to be honest with you, I didn't even have my seatbelt on. I never wear my seatbelt, but I promise you I will now. But when I was in my Challenger, I never wore my seatbelt at all. So just to look at those pictures and know that I didn't have my seatbelt on, I don't know how I didn't go through the windshield. I don't know how I didn't die, honestly. So that kind of woke me up right there. And then it's another thing that happened in the hospital that some people may not believe, but I never played with it when it comes to my grandma. She just passed away in June. And I remember them preparing me for my second neck surgery on the back of my neck. The nurses and the doctors left, and it was just one nurse left in there. He was putting my gown on me. And I seen my grandma walk through the door, and she came over. And this is after the doctors had did the test on me to see if I could feel anything that they was doing to me as far as hitting me with the hammer, poking me with the needles and everything. So about 5 to 10 minutes after, she comes through the door, and she walks up to me. She smiles. She grabs my right knee, and she squeezes it so hard it made my leg jerk. So the same thing that the doctors was trying to do when they was hitting me in my knee to see if I react to it, that's the way that I reacted to her when she grabbed my knee. And it kind of scared me because I knew that she had passed away. I knew that it wasn't really like her, but it was realistic. It was like I could reach out and touch her. Like, that's how real it was. So it made me ask the nurse to have he gave me any pain medication yet. And he was taking it as if I was wanting some pain medication right then and there because I was hurting, because he said, Joe, I didn't give you anything, but I promise you I'm going to give you some after I put this gown on you. So they let me know I wasn't hallucinating. So I took it as, you know, God was just allowing me to see that my grandma was okay, you know. And he also sent her to me just to let me know that he saved me from that wreck for a reason. And I have a purpose down here that I have not fulfilled yet. But I took it as I want to be able to change my life around, because to be honest with you, had I died that day, I don't know where I would have went. And that's just me being honest. So I just want to be able to change my life around so that when my day does come, my time does come that I leave this earth, I want to be able to go spend eternity with my grandma. So that changed my life around for the better. I don't look at the wreck as negative. I thank God for it happening. I don't like the pain that I'm going through at all. I don't like that I got to go through another surgery, but it's not up to me. You know, my God that I serve is an on-time God, and he places things in our life for reasons. And that's the only thing that I'm seeking right now is my full purpose and the reasons as to why I'm going through what I'm going through.
Well, Joe, I'm so proud of you for one. Look how far you've come, man. In 1 month. And also, as they say, if he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. You know, yes, that. Sir. So, again, I can't say again how proud I am of you. You know, yes, that. And you know what? It will become clear to you. But it's one day at a time, and win the day. And some folks are writing in about the poster over your shoulder. So how's your memory on the day that you returned that touchdown against the Argos, that punt? Is that what that banner is behind you? What do you remember about those days?
I remember every single day I spent in Regina, man. That day is special to me because not only about the touchdown, but also a guy named Joe Manite, he kind of took me under his wing, and he was giving me pointers, and he was giving me tips, and he was becoming like an older brother to me, and he went on and passed after that season. So to me, that's a day and a game that I always rewind in my mind. So it was very special to me. I loved every bit of Regina, from the fans to the game. I didn't like the cold weather, but I just liked the peace and the quiet there. And I always want to go back, probably after the COVID, probably once I get healthy, I'll probably plan on going back and visiting again.
Well, we will roll out the red carpet. Obviously, I would be very excited for that day. Joe, some people are writing in saying that you're having a walk. I'd like to know how we can help you. How can all of our viewers help you out right now?
Well, yeah, I'm having a walk. I had one in my hometown, and it was honestly like a last minute thing. I was going to always walk every day as much as I can. And I went home back to Gaffney, South Carolina from Memphis with my dad. And I just wanted, because everybody was showing love and support from my hometown via Facebook. So I just decided just to invite anybody that wanted to come out. I was expecting about 10 to 15 people at the most. But for some reason, it was at least 40 to 50 people to come out. And it was just an awesome feeling. I was surrounded by love. I was surrounded by positivity. And it motivated me to go a little longer than a mile. We actually walked close to 2 miles, man. Just kept going. And I decided to do the same thing here in Memphis, Tennessee, since I came back. It's going to be this Saturday. It's going to be right by the river, Tom Lee Park. We're going to do the same exact thing. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to let them know that it's bigger than myself, and the reason why we all came together is not for me specifically, but just to allow God to shine through each and every one of us. And we're going to walk a mile. If there's anybody that's listening right now that want to join, the only thing that I can ask you to do is just walk a mile for me. And the reason why I say a mile is for four reasons. It's for faith, love, positivity, and strength. I decided to walk for those four things. That's because that's something that I relied on the whole time that I was in the hospital. And as you know, four laps around a track equals a mile. So if you don't mind, just walk a mile for me. If you don't want to walk a mile, just go outside and walk as far as you can. Take pictures of it. Tag me on Twitter. And I appreciate everything that you can do, and prayers as well. I really need that as well.
All right, Joe. And we have producer Clark just told me that we've tweeted your GoFundMe. We ask our viewers to help out there. Joe, you made a mark here. We remember you very clearly, very well, and we want to be there for you now. You did a lot of great things for us. We want to do the same for you. So I appreciate this. Stay strong, my man. Stay positive, and let's keep in touch. And thanks for all you're doing.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me, and continue to pray for me. I appreciate it for real.
We will. Great Joe Craig Jr. joining us from Memphis, Tennessee today. And you can go to our Twitter, Facebook, at Rod Peterson Show. Everything is linked to Joe's, if that's the best way to find it. And we're going to help this guy out. What a story. We'll be back. We got a sports update coming up. We're going to talk about the rock star of the day, talk about all these topics that we, again, didn't quite get into as deeply as I would have liked, which is fine.
Oh, yeah.
It always seems to go that way. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Note from our good friend Craig Campbell watching in Toronto downtown at the Hockey Hall of Fame. He says, interviews with Joe Craig makes the RP Show very special and unique compared to other sports media. Well, we thank you, Craig. We're trying to impact people, help people, and allow them to get their stories out there, and I think we did that. But let's all not just talk about it. Let's help out Joe Craig. I read a thing from a trusted news source, the Ipsos Angus Reid poll company. Angus Reid's initially from Regina, by the way. Did you know that? The poll guy?
Wow.
Not the former center for the BC Lions.
Cool.
Charitable donations are down 40% in Canada in 2020, all because of the pandemic. People are hanging on to their money.
Yep.
And yet going out and buying boats and RVs like crazy, so figure that one out. But just saying, if you can donate to somebody's GoFundMe, and we're not talking about some, you know, I'm not donating to that charity because all their money goes to pamphlets and fancy suppers, right?
Yeah.
Write to somebody's GoFundMe in this case, Joe Craig. It was a very exciting day when he returned that punt for a touchdown at BMO Field. Were you there, Craig Campbell? Breaking news today. Bob Bugner has been named head coach of the San Jose Sharks.
Whoa.
That just came down as a notification. Bob Bugner, the new head coach of the San Jose Sharks. Great success in Windsor. Where's he been since Windsor? Is he still in Windsor? I don't know where he's been.
Good question.
Sorry to ask you a question, put you on the spot.
No, I'd have to do a search.
I just know he won a Memorial Cup with Windsor.
That's right.
They had a great thing going there. Other sports news, the Toronto Blue Jays face the New York Yankees tonight at Salem Field in Buffalo, New York. Toronto enters the game with a magic number of 3 to clinch a playoff spot. That means any combination of 3 Toronto wins or Seattle losses from now until Sunday will see the Jays advance to the postseason. Wow. Down to the magic number. And for once, it favors our team.
I know. That's so, crazy.
Usually we're calling it a tragic number.
Although Seattle's usually my number 2, just... I've always had it. Ken Griffey Jr. made me a Seattle Mariners fan.
Really?
Back in the day. Ken Griffey's baseball on the PlayStation.
Did I ever tell you about the time I had a tour of Safeco Field?
No.
It was with the Pats on an off day in Seattle. And as cool as it was, and believe me, wonderful facility, Safeco Field, there was a gigantic rat trap in the dugout. Like, imagine a mouse trap times 10.
Yep.
I'm like... How big are the rats?
Looks like a bear trap.
It was huge. I'm like, no, am I going to see one?
And my first ball game was there on Lou Piniella bobblehead night. It's Hall of Fame night.
Really?
So that's why I've got the Lou Piniella bobblehead in my office.
trying to. So your Blue Jays are your number one. Oh, Mariners are your two.
Yeah.
For me, it's Blue Jays 1, 2, and 3. But there's something about the Yankees that I like. And I remember being in New York, I want to say a few years ago, but it wasn't a few years ago. It was a decade ago because I was looking at photos the other day. And I wanted to go to a Yankees game so bad. Yeah, dun, 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 right?
Oh, yeah.
But it was drizzling and raining the whole week in New York. And my wife's like, if I'm going to the game, it needs to be sunny. You know my wife, right? She would just lay out and sunbathe in the outfield.
Right.
But she's like, if it's raining, drizzling, I'm not going. So we didn't go because I wasn't going to go out there alone.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever top the Blue Jays for me, and clearly for you either.
Never.
But there's just something really cool about the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Nelson, stop. Cincinnati right-hander Sonny Gray is expected to come off the injured list and start the second game of the Reds' critical series against Milwaukee. Gray hasn't appeared in a game since September 10th because of a strained back. He returns to a team that has won 8 of 9 to climb into playoff contention. The Denver Nuggets look to bounce back tonight when they take on the LA Lakers in Game 3 of the NBA Western Conference Final. The Lakers took a 2-0 lead in the best-of-seven series with a 105-103 win Sunday that was sealed by Anthony Davies' buzzer-beating three-pointer. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. I'm going there for lunch Friday with Tony the Tiger. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have with 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. Maybe we're showing our age here, but Donald Mitchell, our Navy friend, says, Montreal Expos forever. I couldn't agree more. I really can't. I still have an Expos lid I very beautifully have in my cupboard at home with all my hats that I only bust out for special occasions. I bought it in downtown Montreal on St. Catherine Street. But I hate to tell you, Donald, there is no Montreal Expos.
I know.
Where were you in the World Series last year when I was watching the Nationals win it all? And a tear started going down my face when I'm, you remember the story?
Yep.
I'm watching them celebrate on the turf and I'm like, that's my Expos. And nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cared. Don, were you watching that? And furthermore, just a couple. Craig Smith, director of scouting, Craig Smith watching. He says, number one, Yankees. Number two, Blue Jays. Number three, Twins. Number four, Mariners. There's a lot of Yankees fans around here that are, you know, not that old that they should enjoy. They should cheer for the Yankees over the Blue Jays. Anybody 45 and under has no excuse to not cheer for the Toronto Blue Jays, as far as I'm concerned. And if your Expos went belly up or moved, they're not really part of the equation. Jennifer Illingworth writes in, Jennifer, she says, Jays, Cubbies, Mets. And that's cool. Did you ever have those plastic batting helmets?
Oh,
you had them?
Oh, yeah. The plastic Jays, of course.
Yeah.
And why am I blanking on his name? John Olerud. Right, he had the half yes. one with the one ear and the one out, and he wore it at first base, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Without any ear, obviously.
One ear.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was him, and I pretended I was him, you know, and they had the plastic thing. It looked just like the one he wore. It was awesome.
So many stories flooding my mind. This is amazing. I don't know if you noticed. I got down on that 97 World Series talk with Zonnie last week. This would blow the baseball people's mind, particularly producer Clark. Until I started with the Riders in 99, baseball was my number two sport, and I'm not kidding. I was like you guys. I would sit and watch every game, every pitch, and love it. It was with the Riders that I just, you don't have time in the summer for anything else but Riders. You don't. But I'm a longtime baseball fan here, yeah. Man. Nobody would believe it if you've been watching this show for the last year. But at that little dinner gathering we had Saturday night watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, my buddy, let's just call him Brooks, had three plastic batting helmets on the floor in his man cave. It was Orioles, for sure. I think the Royals, and there was a third underneath them. And I'm like, I kind of want to go over there and put one on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
But I had an Expos one, and they were very hard to find in the 80s. And I had a Kansas City Royals, because I love the royal blue of them, and I had the Mets. I pretty...
I had a lot of them.
Well, and there's always Expos fans that pop up. They're everywhere. Or, you know, from the days I ran into a guy by the name of Frank. He runs a collectibles little stand at one of the farmers markets in town. And he's telling me, and they all want to tell stories about the old days in Montreal. And he's telling me about Hideo Nomo, you know, pitching in a
ball game. I met him at Dodger Town in Florida. Yeah. A story for another time.
No,
continue.
But then, you know, when I go to ballparks, the plastic helmet just gets me, too. I love it to the point where I buy the, you know, in L.A., they sell ice cream in the little mini hard, you know, batting helmet, plastic batting helmet. Yeah. So you got to get that just to have the
collectible. Not the same, though.
Not the same, quite, but.
Oh, man. Squirrel here. Oh, your John Olerud story reminds me of a Ricky Henderson story, and I can't remember where I was because I'd done all those dinners with Barfield and Robbie Alomar and Cito, and there were I'm trying to remember where I heard the story, but Ricky Henderson, when the Blue Jays acquired him, walked up to John Olerud and the Blue Jays, not Ricky the iguana. Ricky Henderson walked up to John Olerud. This to tell you everything you need to know about Ricky Henderson. Still the major's all-time stolen base leader, is he not? Walked up to Olerud in the Blue Jays clubhouse and said, "Hey, you wear a batting helmet out in the field? I played in Seattle with a guy that did the same thing." You know what Olerud said? "That was me." True story.
Tells you all you need to know about Ricky Henderson.
I played with a guy. Yeah, what's played with a where we? It was in Seattle. I played with a guy. Yeah, that was me. We'll be right back with more of these stories, your comments. Hang on. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
It's overtime, everybody. Nothing special, just a continuation of what we've been talking about on the program today. And it has been fun. And we're going to ask you to vote for the rock star of the day, but it shouldn't be too hard. Tony Ambrosio from TSN.ca. Canadian Sports Media College. I didn't realize he was an instructor there. I'd like to take a few classes at that. Tony Ambrosio. Bubba O'Neill from CHCH Hamilton, and then Joe Craig Jr. But I always had a dream, another one, not just owning and operating an arena football league in Canada, but owning and operating a broadcast school. Would you believe that?
No, wow.
But
cool.
I don't think I'll do it for a variety of reasons. There used to be one in this city. It was called PBTI, Prairie Broadcasting Training Institute. And because it's now defunct, I guess we could tell you that the joking acronym of it was the Prairie Burglary Training Institute because they stole your money.
Right. Never gave you anything for it.
Right. But I realized I don't think I can teach kids. I'm pretty sure that I can't teach kids because this has become so natural to me ever since I was a kid broadcasting. I could just see me in some kid's face screaming, "Why can't you do this?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I'd be in business long.
Well, there's a place for that, though.
Is there?
There's a place
I've
for that
I've yet to
still.
Find it.
It's just, you can't do that every day.
Ah. Is that what it is?
You know, a coach told me once the blackout snap show where you shut the lights off in the dressing room and throw water bottles around, like that kind of a snap show. You got one of those this season. Maybe two if you're a great coach.
Okay. Not every day?
Not every day.
Well, what about the people who were yelling at me every day when I was young? Anyways. From Alan, the intern. Remember Alan?
Mm.
He says, "Rod, you'll be a great speaker for my class." Well, I'd have to be invited first. Dougal Cameron, the Stampeders fan, says, "My first team I cheer for is the Yankees because they were on TV every Saturday afternoon. Mickey Mantle was a god. Then came the Expos, Canada's team. Rusty Staub, Gary Carter. Think of how I felt when the Yankees Expos World Series got canceled." Oh, believe me, I get it. But we say it so many times. I just wonder what they're teaching in these marketing classes at the university. Maybe you know because you're spending more time over there now, but it's infiltrating people's minds. It's pretty simple. I don't understand the teams and the leagues that want to go dark for an offseason or take a day off, let alone 6 months. I don't understand it. But you know what? I'll just stay over here and do my own thing and stay in my own lane. I just don't understand why you would want to go invisible. I don't get it. But that's my pet peeve. Back to the marketing of it all. DG in Saskatoon says Dairy Queen needs to bring back the ice cream sundaes in the mini baseball helmets. Did they have baseball helmets? Because I know they had football helmets. Did they ever have baseball helmets?
I don't know.
I don't remember the baseball helmets, but as we were kids in the 70s, it was football helmets for the CFL. Trevor in Sherwood Park watching, he says, Atlanta Braves went to so many camps in Saskatchewan with local scouts. Baseball in Saskatchewan was amazing growing up. I'm now coaching and teaching in Alberta. Love your show. Signed, Trevor in Sherwood Park. Thank you.
How wild is that, though? You know, that I would believe that the Atlanta Braves, I'm surprised their name hasn't come up. Because my entire childhood...
For what?
Their games were on television in my living
room. TBS!
Every day at like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. The Atlanta Braves games almost were on Canadian television more than Jays games. I mean, TSN carried the Jays games and Sportsnet now and stuff, but Atlanta Braves were on the cable every single day. So many games.
I know. Well, and when I was on the radio in Weyburn, we had a scout in Weyburn from the Braves, and somebody will remember his name that's watching. Please write in or text him. It was Ray something. He was a scout for the Braves living in Weyburn, and I interviewed him. He had World Series rings. I saw them. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Especially when I was a young farm kid working at CFSL, meeting a scout for the Braves that won a World Series.
And
cool.
The teams were good as I'm watching them. You know, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine. All who was the switch guys. Hitter that was so good?
I don't know. I'm thinking of John Smoltz, just
John
in pitching
Smoltz
rotation.
Was there for sure. John Smoltz, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine. They're all playing.
Jimmy Fox was the skipper. Or is that the former LA Kings forward?
John Fox, yeah, I think so.
TBS, yes, it was.
Oh, yeah.
TBS. Kerry Shellstead's watch was WTBS. Yeah, it's going back a long ways.
Chipper Jones!
Yes!
He got it at the same time!
That's great.
Chipper Jones!
He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. My mind's racing. We got a big call coming up, so I gotta hang up.
All right.
Tomorrow on the program, Hockey Night in Canada's Ron McLean, Jason LaBarbera of the Calgary Hitmen. I'm looking forward to that. And Chris Dingman, who, good call on that, Clark. Hopefully we got a better internet connection with him than the last time, and I'm sure that we will. He's had some thoughts on these junior players that are suing their leagues. You probably saw.
Yep.
Former Brandon. Bobby Cox. Thank you, Smitty.
Yes.
There it is. Mike Ramage is watching from Saskatchewan Baseball Association, and he has it. Ray Belanger. And if there was internet back then, I could go Google the story that I wrote for CFSL on Ray Belanger. He was something of a demigod around here. That he was a scout for the Atlanta Braves. Thank you, Mike Ramage. Check it in from Baseball Saskatchewan. Okay, now we're done. Vote on our polls, and we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.